The following program contains adult themes and may be unsuitable for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Hola a todos, bienvenidos a esta semana en Mormones. Estamos aquí para, bueno, darles mucha información sobre toda la cosa mormona.
Welcome to the House of the Mormons. During this drive time hour,
Al, tú puedes hablar ucraniano, si quieres.
I love Ukrainian women.
Es verdad.
And sugar.
Y azúcar.
How are you, Jeff?
Estoy muy bien, gracias.
Ничего.
I'm speaking like a Southie. I don't know why.
You.
Because
monster.
I just had delicious Spanish food and tapas this evening, so I should.
Why would that make you speak like a Southie?
No,
you should have had Mexican
saying,
food.
The irony, I should be speaking like a good Spaniard right now.
Right?
Robust. Porque estamos aquí por ese programa de
Zaragoza.
De speaking more. Es verdad, porque viví en Zaragoza.
Barcelona.
Y también en Barcelona. Y en Valencia. Y en Murcia.
How are you, Jeff?
Estoy muy bien. I'm well. How are you, my friend?
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Oh, I love it when you're tremendous.
I always am. I've been untremendous twice in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Both times I'd kill the man. I don't take that well.
You coward.
And this is my confession.
So did you enjoy Beyonce in the Super Bowl?
Oh my gosh, what a sweetheart she was, huh?
Wholesome entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Yeah.
Not once did I think about her thighs.
No.
Never.
Just that she was a talented mistress.
Very, very talented. She has a child with destiny.
Yeah.
But they didn't
sing. And Jay-Z and her are so cute together.
But they didn't sing Bills. So I felt like it was kind of a missed opportunity.
Bills?
Well, you know, Bills. Bills. Bills.
They sang. Question. How you gonna... Question?
You know, Bills.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or Survivor would have been great.
Yeah, that. No, you know, I was happy with the song choice. It was interesting. The people, like the girls that I watched the Super Bowl with, were more excited about Beyonce. Like that was their Super Bowl.
Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me they were more excited about Beyonce than about a stupid sport?
It was a great game, Jeff.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Bizarre.
But the 49ers still did not win. Your hometown boys did not win.
No. My brother lives in Baltimore, so I was rooting for the Ravens.
All right. But you were born in John Steinbeck country.
I sure was.
So.
I sure was. Good old Janis Joplin sang about me.
I mean, Jackie Jump Jump.
What is that sound? Are you at the ocean?
No, that would be the heater. I'm sorry that you can hear it.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a tornado.
This is what... Apartment living. This is what happens.
That was my tornado siren. I just had to throw it
out. I mean, this is what happens in apartment living. You have your HVAC in a closet... Just like right in your hallway. So everything's just right there. I mean.
I love that I just pulled a tornado siren sound out.
You did a great job. And that was such a kick for me when I was out there in Missouri. Because I'd never really been in tornado country. And even seeing how the bathrooms at Kauffman Stadium were rated tornado shelters. And they had signs up to say so. I just loved
it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big deal.
It made me happy.
So, you know. It's good times. Good times with the Super Bowl. Were you rooting for the 49ers, Chef? Did you watch it?
I root for no one. You know what I'm rooting for? In under 2 months' time when Major League Baseball is underway. Spring training will be upon us in but a few short weeks, people. That's what I'm rooting for. But I guess I was loosely rooting for the Niners. I don't know.
Oh, because you're from California.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm not from the Bay Area. And Baltimore's close enough to hear. I mean, people out in D.C. are
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Would you cheer for the St. Louis Rams because they were once the L.A. Rams?
Maybe, and they actually played at Angel Stadium, even though they were the L.A. Rams.
Wow.
They played their whole time at Anaheim Stadium.
That is fun.
But likewise, but you say that, but I have zero affinity for the Raiders, who used to be in L.A., because they're a terrible team, and their fans have a proclivity to violence and evil.
They're in Oakland now.
Oakland? Well, the Niners are in San Francisco.
Yeah, but San Francisco is a much nicer town than Oakland.
Yeah, generally, I mean, Oakland, I wouldn't say is, like, known for being sort of the, like, fun, sexy place that we hope it would be.
No, Oakland is awful.
I mean, it's more like if you're into, you know, like, exit wounds on your body.
Yeah, if that's your thing, for sure, go to Oakland.
Yeah, I find that it's a good place to make those dreams come true. Also, terrible, terrible eating scene on Saturday afternoons in downtown. It is not a lively downtown. It is a businessy downtown.
That's what I hear. Business downtown. Yeah, like Culver City.
No, downtown Culver City has stuff.
No, it's not. It's a business downtown.
No, there's stuff in downtown Culver City.
Is there, Jeff?
Harrison Ford's son owns a restaurant there.
What? Billy Ford?
It's called Ford's Filling Station. Not to be confused with the filling station in Orange, California. Different place.
Which was featured in That Thing You Do.
No, it wasn't. That was Watson's. But you?
Oh, yeah. I knew it was one of those.
You're doing a great job. You're going to have a great time.
You're going to have a great time.
Yeah, wonderful.
So
anyway, you know, parties. We are just living the dream here in D.C. Just wild things happening. So I need to issue an apology.
Go on.
Early on. Now, I don't believe any of these individuals listen to this show. I'd be floored if any of them did. But I would just like to apologize to any primary instructors who had me as one of their students when I was a young man, and by the transitive property, extend that apology to all primary teachers who have had people like how I was at that age.
Wait, what is this offer?
I'm apologizing. I'm not offering anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm offering an apology.
You're apologizing for the way that you were behaving.
I would just like to apologize to my primary teachers. I feel like it's the right thing to do. I don't think you're picking up on how this ties into my new calling, but
no. So you're having a hard time with the primary. What age group do you teach?
I'm not having a hard time, but I am reminded that I too was once a hellish primary child. I teach 4 and 5 year olds, rambunctious boys.
And your wife helps you, right?
She does.
And they are awful.
No, they're
are these.
They
are
very. They're very good. They're great kids. I mean, they're great kids. But they're probably some of them. How I'm sure I was unruly, rowdy. You know. Can you stop working?
That doesn't sound like you at all.
No, I was terrible in primary, and I didn't like primary ever.
Man, I was the golden child.
I'm sure you were. I was not. I railed against the primary program when I was in it, and I have a hard time with the whole kids singing and stuff, so this is going to be a great opportunity for me. I mean, primary was great. I made a candle on my head. I got to do a wiggle song. I didn't even know what that was. And, I mean, just so many. Because honestly, when was the last time I was in primary? Like 20 years ago. So.
Yeah, all right. Good call.
I don't remember anything they do.
The wheels on the bus go round and
round.
We
didn't do the wheels on the bus, unfortunately. And we learned some sign language to I Am a Child of God. It was very Happy Hands Club. Loved it. That's all.
Have you had to do a sharing time yet, Jeff?
I personally have not, and I doubt I myself ever will, but it'll come, I'm sure.
Are you going to make your wife do them all?
Pretty much. I don't actually plan on exerting much in the way of effort in this calling. So,
oh, good call.
Yeah. I just figured I'd let the pretty curly-haired one pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it makes sense. I'm good for it.
Well, I have had nothing like that. I had a bout where I talked to my elders quorum and we were telling them, I was just like, listen, when it comes to home teaching the other men in this quorum, because we're single people, and when it comes to home teaching other single men, I hate home teaching other guys. I just hate it. I hate doing it. I think it's so awkward and awful. And I was just like, yeah. Just do it. Like, don't make it a big thing. Like, I don't care about sitting down and having the formal lesson. When it's other dudes, go grab them. Just make sure that you are connected well enough that if they ever need you, they could call you. Like, when they fly in and they need somebody to pick them up from the airport, they should be able to call you. Right, so have like get that relationship there, and I mean grab lunch together once a month, go get some dinner, talk about how they are, make sure they're good. But like, I don't care about sharing the lesson and all that stuff for them. And so I had the little bit of fallout from that was I got a couple of messages from people that are like, I have now after your great sermon on that, my own teachees only want me to home teach them via text. Could you please fix this?
See, this is why you need to pray about how to do your calling. That's my
good. Yeah, I've been missing that.
Yeah, maybe if you seek the guidance of the Spirit, as promised throughout numerous sections in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 8, maybe 6, 10, 9.
Take no thought beforehand what things you shall say,
nor purse, nor script either.
That's what I do.
By that logic, with no, we should just feel free to, you know, get the ladies to feed you.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
I know they're trying to decry hanging out, but isn't that going, I mean, you know, go there without purse or script. Say, I have none. Feed me.
Okay, I'll do that.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I'm going to miss the YSA scene, and then I realize I'm not going to. But sometimes.
What would you miss about it?
Oh, maybe stuff like that. I mean, honestly, ward dynamics are so different there, and it's what I've been used to for a long time. I mean, a family ward is... It's funny when you're in a YSA ward for a long time because you forget that family wards are the normal of the church. And you come to... you expect and are accustomed to YSA wards just being the norm as for good, for better and worse. So, I don't know. I think it's fun. You miss those dynamics. It is kind of fun to have elders quorum when it's a bunch of guys your age and you're all kind of having a good time together, you know, because you can make guy friends. And
versus now you have like guys that are bitter. They haven't become high priests yet.
Exactly.
Young guys. Yeah, I know what you're going through. Yeah. Jeff, I know what you're going through.
Not as much fun, but it's okay. It's great time.
No fun. Literally no fun. So... a few Mormon things happened this week. Should we transition out of our
I am totally, totally fine with this. By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl real quick, three of the Baltimore Ravens on the winning team.
Oh, yeah?
Are LDS.
Starters? Pitta. Pitta was there.
Yeah, you
the
know
BYU the, king.
Pitta was just the fourth BYU graduate to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. This comes from an article on the Digital Universe because the Daily Universe is no more.
Wait, what? The Daily Universe is gone?
They're no longer daily. They publish weekly in actual print, and that's mostly online, which follows the trends of most print newspapers. But you'd feel like a university paper would be worth more, and they could perhaps find the resources to do it, but whatever.
Those savages.
Let's see. There's Paul Kruger. And then Haloti Nagata.
I didn't see either of those guys playing.
Yep. So these people...
I like their picture. Baltimore Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta celebrates his one-yard touchdown reception. 1 yard.
I'm surprised that was even a reception. Like, what? That's not a running play? You actually threw it?
Yep. The Niners had a similar strategy of low percentage passing plays within the 5 yard line or within the 5 yard touchdown area. And it failed them, so well done, Ravens, for executing. Poor, poor Niners for failing.
They are the worst. I've got some big news here.
Hold on. Before we get actually, there, sorry, Jeff, I'd like to throw one out to the listeners. Jeff and I were...
Okay.
actually, this is terrible. Oh. No, we're not going to talk about
it. Are you going to talk about what we were talking about before we hit record?
I was going to ask. I'm
probably
just
not
curious.
A good idea.
I'm curious So in my celestial marriage class at BYU,
here we go.
The topic of sex comes up, and the stance of the church is whatever's comfortable with you and your spouse, that works, right? Like, make sure that it's not degrading to either of you.
Well, and your producer, but yeah.
And your producer. What?
Never mind. Keep going.
Okay. And then you're fine. So I was asking Jeff, as Jeff is a newlywed man, if he is okay with profanity in the bedroom. I'm just curious if that's a thing. I don't know. This isn't my world. I don't understand how this works.
Are you sure you don't want to go into more detail about how you explained to me?
No, sure? Because a lot of words that are often not allowed are like actual descriptive words of what's going on. You would use
because
them.
Al assumes that slang verbs are the actual appropriate verbs for certain activities. Ergo, they are being denied their proper use.
Yeah, right. I'm just curious, people. I don't know. Is that okay? Is that
well?
You do?
Then there is the argument.
Let's not post on our wall. Just send me an email. I'm just curious.
No. Post on our wall, everyone, and please tag Al in your comments.
Hashtag bedroom talk. All right, we're done with this. It was a conversation Jeff and I were having. He made fun of me. I didn't feel like it was completely off base. Maybe I
No, I mean, I think it's an okay thing to wonder, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Neither here and also neither there.
No, this is very important for all of our listeners. Please tell us about, you know, your details because that's our business.
No, all right. Well,
Al wants to know because he's a seedy pervert.
We had a post on our Facebook wall that we were going to discuss. What was that topic?
Well, I could find the listener. I think it was Lanea Miller, I want to say, unless I get name incorrect. I do not think I get it incorrect, though. I think I know name. Let's see here. It is basically the point is, you know, when you're in the Temple Recommend interview, right? And there are, you know, a few questions that are asked, many of which are fine and straightforward. But you know the one question when they ask, do you associate with or like endorse or support any groups or individuals whose teachings?
Just so people understand, the Temple interview or Temple Recommend interview questions, there's nothing in there that's secret. This is all like stuff
that is
very, very public and able to be talked about. So go ahead, Jeff.
Very widely known. So the question is, they asked that question, and I have found it kind of funny myself when asked that question. Do you, you know, associate with or endorse or support any individuals or groups whose teachings or practices are basically contradict or go against that of the church? Now, it's very easy to say, well, sure, like, I have a less active sibling who is against the church, right? Isn't that association? So I understand what they mean. Like, am I going to, groups? Sessions with radical groups. Am I going to a Sunstone convention, basically? But I guess it's a fair question because how does this play into politics? Does it mean, is there a problem if you vote for a candidate whom many would regard does not support the church's views? And this could be from either party. I think we could very easily, many would probably assume the Democratic Party, but I think there are many who could pick apart Republicans. But I think there are many who could pick apart Republicans and say this is also not Christ-like behavior, and this is clearly against the church's teachings as well.
Sure.
So, I find it's a funny question. I think the real intent there is obviously to see if I'm like hanging out and sympathizing with like serious problematic groups. But what are your thoughts there, Al? What does it mean to you? Is it a problem for you if you vote for a liberal Democrat, like in an election, assuming said liberal Democrat stands in opposition to the church or the church's teachings? Whatever.
So from a political standpoint, I hadn't really considered it much. I see it. My question around it is, why hasn't the wording on this been adjusted, or is the meaning preserved in what they're in how it's written right now, right? Like, is the intent for us not to associate with detractors from the faith at all?
And that's the other question. I mean, are we supposed to, yeah. Is this saying you need to stay away from those who have left? They will put a spell on you? I don't know. I've always took it to mean what it seems pretty obviously to me, that I'm not lollygagging around with a rough, troubled crowd, so to speak. But
right.
But I do agree. Yeah, but is the wording little off base here?
In my mind, well, and I've never been a, well, actually, no, that's not true. I do know of groups like this that have existed that have started deliberately going after members of the church and things like that. But in general, that's not, I mean, that's like an 1850s type of scenario that they're describing of like, you know, everybody get around in the big room with the spittoon in the middle and talk about old Joe Smith and how we're going to get them boys. You know, like that's what they're describing in my head. And I never, like, it's very easy for me to just say, no, I don't at all. But I don't know, maybe that question would be a little bit more, like maybe it merits a little more review. Maybe it merits a little bit more consideration.
Yeah, so there it is. We put it to you, listeners. What do you think?
It is an interesting question, though. I mean, it's one of those that, like, how... Well, because when I brought it up to my stake president before, and obviously he was just like, no, I mean, you're not like, hanging out with people that are trying to get you to leave the church.
I know. I mean, I've joked, too. I was like, well, I voted for Obama. I mean...
What did he say?
They just laugh. What are they gonna do? I live in D.C. They're all communists here. Come on. I get this joke.
Oh, so I thought you were for real.
Here is a great bit of news. I love this. So, the current governor of Utah, Gary Herbert, and former LDS Church presiding bishop, H. David Burton, received honorary doctorate degrees from...
Oh, my gosh. From BYU? This is big. U of U?
No, from Salt Lake Community College.
Oh, slick.
So the same people who brought you Salt Lake Community College, Barbering and Cosmetology School.
$1 shaves that are awful.
Yes. I did not know that a place that cannot bestow anything more than an associate's degree was in the business of giving honorary doctorates. It's wonderful.
I feel like you and I should start awarding some honorary doctorates. Let's send letters.
I feel like that's the case because they're not accredited to give doctorate degrees. So what's to stop us from doing
it? It's an honorary doctorate, Jeff.
Well,
we should send these to all of the 12 and just see who shows up to accept them.
Well, then we give McKay Coppins an honorary TWIM degree.
Doctorate.
Oh, just doctorates. Okay. Yeah, a doctorate in TWIMtitude. We also give one to Peggy Fletcher.
Hold
Stack
on.
Kevin Barnett.
Does McKay Coppins, has he even interacted with the TWIM Twitter stream?
No, I think he chooses to ignore us.
Then he does not get a TWIM doctorate.
Chances are he's reasonably aware of us because I know his like sister-in-law.
Jeff, you're married, all right? We can't even joke about that stuff anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Anyways, this is just great news, everyone. I mean... Good for them. I wish they would have given them an honorary associate's degree to really just show that community college is good. It helps people.
Mm-hmm. And old David Burton, what did he do to merit this?
Other than have awesome catchphrases in his general conference talks, what more do you need? It actually doesn't say.
What,
it's simply
he was one of his.
He got it primarily for his work as presiding bishop, but especially for the humanitarian work of the church.
Well, good for him. Bravo. Yeah. And I hope someday a grown-up college will award you with something similar.
I want to get an honorary doctorate degree.
I'll give you one.
I'm now going to call him Dr. H. David Burton.
I hope he introduces himself as that next general conference. And now... Doctor,
he's emeritus. He's not. It's over.
That's interesting. I never noticed that, but you never get doctors introduced. Like they never use a title at general conference.
That's because their title is the one the Lord has given them, not the
brother.
World.
They get brother. What if they have no title? Wouldn't you rather be doctor than brother?
No, their title is El. Would you David rather be
Burton?
Elder,
David Burton did not
general authority.
David Burton did not go to fake school. For no years to be called Mr. Thank you very much.
Well, no, he's bishop.
He's a nice
I'd like
bishop.
To be called a bishop.
Okay, so let's see.
Crazy ideas.
Interesting article this week that came up.
Okay.
There's a study on toxic perfectionism, and they say that is a major part of LDS women's depression. They say that LDS women are consumed, and I would argue that it's probably broader than just LDS women, but I do think it's a real problem that they have this ideal of perfectionism that's in their head that they see around them that think everybody else enjoys, mm-hmm. and then it puts them into this weird depressed state because they are not perfect. And so they say that's a major contributor to LDS women's guilt, or not guilt, depression, I mean. And they studied that, said it was a real thing. How you feel about that, Jeff?
No, I think it makes sense. There's a very fine line within concepts of discipleship, of self-improvement, to inevitably, you can easily become self-critical and depressed about oneself and one's standing with the world and the Lord. It's a very, very fine line. It's very easy to cross.
Do men suffer from a similar thing?
I think
have an equivalent?
I think it's the same thing. I think men just as well can get depressed about all the same things and other things, because we can get depressed about men and women are different. We can get depressed about different issues.
What do we get depressed about, Jeff?
Well, it could be any number of things: spiritual progression, employment, one's ability to provide, ability to. Well, then there's similar. There, of course, there are similar ones we would all have. You know, spiritual receptivity, standing with the Lord. That's what I think. I think a lot of the standards in the church, when not dealt with in the right way, with a healthy attitude, can certainly run the risk of putting us in a less good place. That's how. Those are my fancy thoughts. Less good.
I like it.
Less
I like
good.
It.
Yeah, I think it's legit. Why would it not be? In other news, folks, Alabama, friendly, known as Bama, has named Peter M. Johnson to be the stake president.
Known as Bama.
Has named Peter M. Johnson to be the stake president of the Bessemer, Alabama stake. Why does this matter to you? Because Peter Johnson is the first black Mormon to be a stake president in Alabama. Racist Alabama.
I don't think that they have that as a preface to their
name
anymore.
I crossed the state line on I-20, it said, beautiful, racist Alabama.
Oh, that's the welcome sign.
Yeah, that's what it says. I mean, you leave Mississippi and you think it's not going to get worse, but...
But nice folk, though. Really nice people.
Yeah. Let's see. He's the first one to serve in Alabama. Obviously, he's not the first African-American stake president ever, but... there you go. And, of course, we have one black man in the 70s. Elder Joseph W. Sitati of Kenya. This is from Peggy Fletcher Stack, in case you were wondering why it sucks.
Dang you, Peggy Fletcher Stack. Dang you. Okay, so here's one. Jeff, LDS Church files two briefs in gay marriage cases. What are these about?
You tell me. You brought it up.
Well, no, I'm just wondering if you can explain in lay terms what's going on here. They're both in challenge. So I guess Proposition 8.
All right,
is back on the chopping block. Yes.
What it is? These are briefs. So the thing is, gay marriage is going up to the Supreme Court. The church, having been a prominent actor in the previous lawsuits and everything else surrounding gay rights stuff, and one of those, of course, being everything surrounding Proposition 8. The church has submitted a brief to talk about its experiences with that, its position still today, and effectively it's a means of acquiring information pertaining to the case that will be placed before the Supreme Court. But they weren't just us. They were also signed by the National Association of Evangelicals, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations. So the point is to sort of drive the church's point home.
So here's the something interesting about this, because the church has kind of been taking a much quieter stance in gay marriage stuff over the last year and a half or so, would you say?
Yeah, I think this surprises me for the same reason. It's been very quiet.
Well, because they've kind of been just more of a focus on I mean, accepting and reaching out and that kind of thing. I had an interesting conversation with a girlfriend of mine this last week around the gay marriage or the, kind of that whole topic. And she had a similar struggle to something that I'd kind of had of just, I mean, you have really good, genuine friends and people that you know that you believe and trust. And, you know, for them to be told that being gay and having those feelings is a sin is awfully hard. And like how to sort all that out. It was a really good conversation. But again, I mean, it just highlights the fact that some of these stances that we have and things like that are frustrating. And she had the comment or the thought that, you know, eventually the church is going to come to grips at some point of, you know, either accepting gays outright or not, you know, being against gay marriage and all of that. And I like the conversation went to where I agreed with her was that eventually I think that the church, the stance on homosexuality and people that have same sex attraction will soften. I believe that it will. I believe that they will, as they continue to figure out how to fit with everything in the world around them, that the church will continue to evolve that way. Where I don't see the church's stance ever softening, though, is in the marriage realm, right? Like, they'll continue to just be, to promote marriage as a union between a man and a woman, right? Like, Jeff, I mean, do you ever see, I mean the difference between the blacks getting the priesthood revelation in 1978 and the gay marriage debate that we have now is there was never a proclamation on white people and the priesthood back in the day, or maybe there was and I missed it. But like, as far as I know, there was never a thing that said only white guys will ever get the priesthood, and that's how it will be. This is our proclamation to the world. Love, Joseph Fielding Smith. Whereas we have that in the Proclamation of the Family around gay marriage, right?
Right.
So, I mean, do you ever see the church's stance around this changing at all? I mean, as much acceptance and stuff as we see the church having around homosexuality, will the stance on gay marriage, could you ever see that changing?
No. No, I agree with you on this. I think that we will be more tolerant and inviting and open, but I do not believe that the official stance on gay marriage will change.
And if it ever did change,
then I would adapt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because that's just what we do. But I really don't. There's no way. That would go against not just like random policy, like everything that we have been taught forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that would call into question even Adam and Eve and the creation.
Right. Well, because all throughout the Bible, I mean, it talks about it's well, the only reason that I could see it ever changing would be like directly from social pressures. And I just don't see the church, caving to that extent. No. I just couldn't see it.
No, me neither. I don't think so either. But something I think we will get more tolerant.
Well, that's what's interesting, though, is like the tolerance argument around how we'll handle ourselves as a church with the gay community obviously will change, and I'm curious to see how that continues to evolve because it has to. It'll keep moving, keep changing, but with our stake in the ground at gay marriage, I mean, I'm curious to see what other opportunities there are for the church to really do anything. I mean, what else? How else can they improve relations while they still have that? So,
time will tell.
Time will tell.
You might have seen this last week.
I did.
The church is closing the Benemerito de las Americas school outside of Mexico City. And they're going to be turning it into a mission training center. Un centro de capacitación misionaria.
Sounds like an awful article. Who wrote this?
Peggy Fletcher.
Freak that baby Fletcher. She is everywhere. Man, that woman is prolific.
She is ubiquitous. So, she has achieved ubiquity. So, this is actually big news. The church used to run a lot of schools, probably over 100 just private schools, secondary schools mostly. Only a handful remain. Most of them are in the Pacific Islands. So they're going to be closing this because of the influx of missionaries and converting it into a missionary training center. And it's just going to fill up. Of course, Mexico has already had a small missionary training center adjacent to the Mexico City Temple, which if I'm, I don't know if Americans or non-native speakers ever went there or if it was one of the ones that was just solely for native speakers to pop in for 3 weeks and get on with their missions. I have no idea. But there's no word on what's going to happen with that MTC.
No.
But maybe they'll just have two. I don't know what they'll be doing.
Oh. So two questions around this. One, do you agree with the church closing down its schools internationally?
It's just, I don't know. I don't feel like we've ever had like a big obligation to leave them open. I don't know. It's just...
The church investing in education for impoverished countries, that's not something you're passionate about,
Maybe
Jeff?
You've never heard of the Perpetual Education Fund.
The PEF? I sure have.
Well, that is investing in education if I ever heard it.
So we only need to invest one way.
One way. We don't need more investment. I think in the end of the day, it's just because it's nice to invest in those things. But, you know, it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, but they make a lot of money off those students.
Do they, though? I mean, how much? I don't know a lot about costs or any fees associated.
I don't
with,
either. I made that with, last with argument
schools.
Up. That's,
do they cost money?
All,
does the church
let
you go
lie.
For free? I have no idea. I have no idea how those work.
I don't know either.
Or if it's just, or if the church just takes a loss on all of them.
Anyway, rah-rah MTCs. That's exciting.
We'll get another one. There are, what, there's 15 MTCs right now? So either it will stay.
Never enough. Think, how many Mexicans are there that are 18 waiting to go on missions? Probably a lot.
So many. So many. And I can't
imagine.
Dozens? Just,
hundreds.
I might say hundreds. Maybe just dozens.
So in the weird Mormon news column, I bring you... You remember a while ago, Jeff, we had the stake president that, or the branch president that bit the penis. Do you remember this?
It's just the way this, it's just the way you said it, as if like the penis.
Does
was
this
a pro-
ring
was
a bell?
As if it was a proper noun.
He like, was interviewing
the one.
He was interviewing a girl, groped her like. Hit the mom and bit the boy's penis. I believe, in my mind, this was all in one sitting, but I'm sure it was spaced out over a few days.
Yeah, he bit somebody else's junk. Anyways, the point
so,
is... So, yes.
He's standing trial.
They are forcing
Efrey
him to
Guzman.
Stand
trial. Efrey Guzman? So, looking forward to that.
I'm excited.
Actually.
I'm excited about it. We'll be following this trial.
If convicted, he faces life in prison. Who knew?
Really?
One penis bite, hitting a mom, and groping a 13-year-old girl gets you life in prison.
Yeah, I mean, and they say our penal system is too soft.
Did you say penal system? Of course you did.
Everything I just said was for intentional innuendo. Enjoyed that one. That was all
good work,
you.
Jeff.
So, other random news. David Archuleta releasing a CD while on his mission. Way to focus on those converts, Elder.
Oh, come on. You know this is just like...
I think this is like a Tupac situation or something, right? He just has so much material that they're just releasing
more. Just keep
more
releasing
while,
things.
While he's gone. So it's called No Matter How Far. It features a mix of new recorded material and previously unreleased tracks. How new? Hasn't he been on his mission now since... He's been gone for almost a year, right? Well, he was in the MTC for April of last year because he sang during General Conference. So he's been out for a while now. When did he record this stuff?
I'm going to say he recorded when he was 17. This is like the White Album for the Beatles, and we're just finding it, and we're very excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's what it is. It's funny. Someone commented... LOL, apostate missionary. OL, different rules for the famous ones. But then someone who knows said, no. He recorded two cover albums in the 10 weeks of 2012 before he left on his mission and also recorded other material. So
ha-ta-ta-ta.
I'm sure he's recorded all of it well in advance. And now he's able just to keep funding his mission through album sales.
That's all he's trying to do.
He's just trying to stay out there.
He needs $400 a month in sales.
I think we should have a Kickstarter for David Archuleta.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right?
Very good idea, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm full of these.
Let's see.
Just a few more things.
In crummy, terrible news this week, there is a Mormon missionary, a sister serving in Oklahoma, that was killed while riding her bike. She was hit. I have some friends down in Oklahoma that knew her. She was a missionary in their home. Taught them how to play the ukulele. Like, just a good, nice sister from everything that I heard about from them. I mean, it's just really sad to have that happen in a time that is surrounded by joy and happiness. In the time we've been doing this show, Jeff, this is probably, what would you say, the fourth or fifth missionary that we've seen die?
At least, yeah, I'd say around that.
I mean, that's, on the one hand, that's incredible that so many, we have such a huge number of missionaries serving all the time that are in pretty sketchy situations all the time, and to have such a low number ever come into any incident at all. But still, I mean, these are like you're 20 years old. It's just awful. Just awful. But our obviously our condolences, our thoughts, our prayers, all that stuff go out to her family, Elisa Smith of Benton, Arkansas. So I mean,
she was from Arkansas, serving in Oklahoma, huh?
Yep.
Interesting.
Nice Southern gal.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's crummy. It's just crummy.
It is crummy. In other much more unrelated and lighthearted news, clearly this went out through Deseret News by decree from some other Deseret channel, highlighting the Deseret Bookshelf app. Do you have it, folks? Quit reading your church books on Kindle or on Google Books and buy the actual and get the Deseret Book app for books.
Jeff, why are you reporting on this clear advertisement?
Because you get 8 free books just for downloading the app.
Isn't a story. They should pay to get this
if
on.
If it were not a story, why is it in the news?
Jeff, you
I
put it.
I ask you.
No, Jeff, Jeff,
I
stop
ask
it.
You. By the way, speaking of news that isn't a story, I don't know if this is tech news, but Nokia on the Nokia blog published a review of its own phone. And talked about how wonderful it was, as if it was reviewing any other product, and it has incited the ire of tons of geeks.
Oh, that's good. Thomas S. Monson, he's been prophet for 5 years.
That's right, folks. I actually can't believe that the Monson administration has been in power for this long. I thought for sure that old M. Russell Ballard would have led a coup by this point, but no.
A march on Temple Square?
You thought the march in Washington was serious. Wait for the march.
Led by the most. He just doesn't seem very grab you and slap you around. That
it's
old Ballard.
M. Russell Ballard and Quentin L. Cook waving his copies of Quentin's Quandaries and saying, "Why, Tommy? Why?
Answer me this, you oppressive leadership."
I wish that all of his posts would start with that. Answer me this.
Do you remember how, he just seemed awkward and I'm sure it was super weird for him when he took office that first press conference he held. It seems so weird. We've gone from 19 years of Gordon B. Hinckley to all of a sudden Thomas S. Monson. He's like
longer than that even too. Because President, that's got to be hard. President Hinckley was prophet from 1995 through 2008, but he basically ran the church for much longer than that because of the health of Howard W. Hunter and Ezra Taft Benson. So,
ETB.
Yeah, he had some shoes to fill. I didn't feel like it was that awkward of a press conference.
Thought it was terrible. Like, they'd ask him, what do you want to do with the church? Well, just let me. He was just off his game. I know him. I know him as a member of the 12. He'd give these great articulate talks and things, and he was just off the cuff. You could just tell he was a little rattled.
I'm sure he was. But also, what do you do in a press conference like that? I mean, you're just announcing the new first presidency, and they say, what do you want to do with the church? What are you going to say? Like, I will lead you into the black, everyone. I mean, what is, he's not a Teamster. I mean, what's he going to really say other than just like, hey, you know, hopefully everyone
I'm
will
just saying it felt a little odd. I'm
a little stilted.
I expected a little more polish, a little more pizzazz.
Well, the question is 5 years later, has he wowed you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's back in the saddle.
Well, that's all that matters then. Then you're golden.
It really, that's true.
Yeah, that's all that point. Matters. You're set. I don't know. I can't believe it's been 5 years already, though. That's crazy.
Good for him.
That's
good
really weird
him.
That it's been 5 years since then. But we mark it, and we love the prophet.
So what do you, in the last 5 years, like if you had to classify his presidency, what would you say? Like, you know, Howard W. Hunter was Temples. Ezra Taft Benson was Book of Mormon.
Would say it's been like, the simplification of the church, not in a bad way.
Like
getting back to basics. I mean, some stuff I don't love. I don't love the shorter first presidency messages in the Ensign. I hate LDS.org's new search algorithm, but if you used it, it's horrible. But yeah. I mean, it's like they rank anything that's recent as opposed to what's relevant. It's awful. But no,
they're Google. They're Google powered now.
Are they really? Is that what they did?
No, I don't. Well, that's what Google does. Fresh content wins over static content.
Yeah, before it made more sense because you could find great old articles from who knows who. You know, now it's like if someone just dropped the word repentance in a talk that had nothing to do with repentance, they'll get ranked up there even though that's not what you're looking for. When previously
Suckers.
You'd find great talks about repentance.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really think it's been the sort of the back to basics in the church, kind of getting back to the roots of discipleship.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think so much of no, that's actually a really good way of putting it. Back to the basics or roots of discipleship. The idea that you'll never. I mean, he's never going off and talking on a tangent. It's always just love, love, love. So I like it.
Like it too. And honestly, I feel like it's been the ascendancy of the Uchtdorf. I really feel like Uchtdorf is almost more of the face of the church than President Monson. President Uchtdorf is all over it.
He's a good egg.
I mean, I love them all, but if you wanted to talk about like the poster boy at this point, I'm giving it to Dieter.
He's a good one. When your Patronus is a silver fox, you know.
Yeah, I mean, do we even ever get to what the Patronus is? What would President Monson's Patronus be?
No, a beaver. We've talked about this.
This is a beaver?
A silver beaver. A golden beaver, maybe.
I always pictured it being a... I don't know.
Maybe
a weevil.
That's a bug. Can't have a bug Patronus. That's silly.
Is it written that all Patronuses have to be from mammalia? Come on.
All right. Well, you can reach us at thisweekinmormons.com or get us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons.
Also.
Always. Yes. Jeff,
oh, shoot us an email. contact@thisweekinmormons.com and go to Twitter @TheRealTwim. Talk to us there.
Tweet to me.
That's right. Tweet to us.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. Jeff, always a pleasure.
Tweet to us. The pleasure's been mine.
All right. Talk to you next week, man.
Goodbye, and thanks for listening, everybody. We can't do this without you, and we hope that you – I was going to say we hope to hear from you next week. That's not what I want to say. I want to say we hope you listen to us next week. That's what I want to say. Thanks for listening.
Do not go away.
And have a great week. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Esta fría madrugada, quédate hasta que la luz del alba muestre mi corazón, enredado en la alambrada de tu voz que me ha rozado el alma. Quédate conmigo y mi suspiro será el único testigo que se vestirá de pie. Solo tú me puedes enseñar.